we attended a rally and rented a cabin and got a chance to tour a bunch of these egg campers. And as a result of that, we bought a used one 1 month later. And what, 5.5 years later and 240 nights of camping later, we are avid campers, and we are particularly fond of molded fiberglass campers and the rallies that you can go to.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, we are lucky to have back on the show Casita Dean May, and we got kind of a double episode cooking for you guys today. Dean's going to review the Riverbend Campground in Hiawassee, Georgia, and he's going to give us a thorough review of the campground, but he's also going to tell us about his recent trip there for the Eggs on the Hiawassee River Rally, because Dean and his wife, Laura, are egg camping fanatics. So, Dean, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing great. It's nice to be back.
Well, it's always great to have you back. Now, years ago, I mean, maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago, we had you on one of my favorite episodes ever. I believe we titled it The Invasion of the Egg People, or The Invasion of the Egg Campers. And you sort of broke down the whole culture of egg campers for us. And we do have some listeners out there that own Olivers and that own Casitas, but we also have a lot of new listeners and new RV owners that might not be super familiar with the egg camper culture. So how did you and Laura get into this culture, and what draws you to these fiberglass, quote unquote, egg campers?
Well, back when I was still working at the university, I had kind of discovered RVing as a activity for Laura and I to consider as empty nesters. And in the process of researching a small used camper, I discovered that there's an entire market out there for people that want to talk about molded fiberglass campers and to purchase molded fiberglass campers. So that's how I kind of discovered the egg campers. And I was going to wait a little longer, but we ended up attending a rally. I was thinking it was going to be a few more years. We attended a rally and rented a cabin and got a chance to tour a bunch of these egg campers. And as a result of that, we bought a used one 1 month later. And 5.5 years later and 240 nights of camping later, we are avid campers, and we are particularly fond of molded fiberglass campers and the rallies that you can go to.
Now, the owners of these molded fiberglass campers are very passionate about them. I would say, you know, like the way that maybe Airstream owners are passionate. You know, not every RV owner is passionate about their rig in that sense, where there's a whole culture and a whole community about it. So why do people get so excited about them? Is it something about the quality? Is it something about the look? Is it just the fact that there's this community and these rallies? I mean, what's the magic sauce here?
Well, I think, you know, some of it is that they tend to be small. Most of your molded fiberglass campers are as small as 13 feet. And when I say 13 feet, that's from bumper to hitch. It's, you know, a 10-foot box all the way up to about 24, 25 feet. So they're small spaces that require innovation in terms of living in them. And I think that innovation and modification is part of the fun of owning them. And so there's a lot of sharing that goes on. The other thing that I think is so cool about these campers, since most of them are made of two pieces, they tend to have a top half and a bottom half and then a belly band that sort of seals them together. There are a few of them that the vintage ones in which there's a right half and a left half. But because they are so durable, they last and last and last. And so people will, I will know people that have 1970s vintage campers or 1980s. So I think that vintage aspect and their durability lends themselves to people that are attracted to that. And then, you know, like minds want to get together and share stories.
That is such a great point. I think their durability is key here, because they are something you can buy on the used market and fix up and personalize. I mean, like a stick and tin trailer that's not really built or designed to last decades is probably never going to have that kind of cult following or that passionate following. So great points. Now, Dean, I'm so excited because we're going to do kind of a 2-in-1 episode. You're going to talk to us about Riverbend Campground, but you're also going to talk to us about the Eggs on the Hiawassee River Rally and just give us some of the flavor of what one of these rallies are like. But before we do that, we have sponsored messages from our friends at Blackstone and from our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida. The sound of bacon or burgers and steak sizzling is the sound that you crave this summer. Blackstone is the original flat-top griddle with more than 5 million griddles sold. Blackstone is the way that America cooks in the great outdoors. You can cook everything you can on a traditional grill and 1,000 things you can't. Do you want an incredible breakfast? How about lunch or dinner? The solid steel flat-top infuses the flavors. Pick the size and style that's right for your next camping trip. The 17-inch and 22-inch griddles are easy to store in your RV and still have the space to feed the hungriest army. There's even a portable Blackstone with an air fryer built in. Talk about variety. With Blackstone, you can cook anything, anytime, anywhere. For outdoor cooking fun and flavor that you can't find anywhere else, go wherever griddles are sold or head on over to blackstoneproducts.com. And always remember, if it's not a Blackstone, it's not a griddle. The RV Atlas is also sponsored by Ocala Marion County. Located in central Florida, just off of I-75, this is a place that was tailor-made for summer road trips and family vacations. Whether you're looking for campgrounds or RV parks, there are plenty of options in Ocala Marion County. And once you've settled in, the whole place becomes your personal outdoor playground. It all starts with the area's amazing natural springs. These things are crystal clear and they're always 72 degrees, perfect for swimming, paddleboarding, kayaking, you name it. There are countless trails to explore, whether you're hiking, biking, or even riding horses. You can golf, zip line, stroll through the quaint historic downtown. The options are endless. Honestly, it's the perfect place to leave work and worries behind and just experience everything that travelers like us love the most. So take it from us here at the RV Atlas. If you're looking for a place that has everything you need for your best vacation ever, it's safe to say that summer starts in Ocala Marion County. Learn more and plan your fun today at ocalamarion.com. Casita Dean May, are you ready to talk about the Riverbend Campground in Georgia?
Yes, I am. I'm excited.
All right, cool. So you could get us situated with the location. You were telling me before I hit record, you really love this area.
Yes, Laura and I love camping in northeast Georgia. It's a beautiful area. It reminds me a little bit of East Tennessee, western North Carolina. The mountains aren't quite as high, but it's a great area to camp. Plus, the other thing I like about northeast Georgia is it's not nearly as crowded as that East Tennessee area.
All right. So is there going to be more time spent in northeast Georgia in your future? It sounds like you want to get back here.
Oh, yeah. We love going down there. It's not too far of a drive, you know, from Bowling Green there. We're about 325 miles. In terms of the campground's location, it's located about 10 minutes south of Hiawassee. Hiawassee is a small town about 2 hours northeast of Atlanta, 107 miles, or about 3 hours south of Knoxville, about 138 miles. So you kind of have to, it's a little distance from those locations, but that's, you know, the beauty of the area. It's quite nice.
Within reach from Atlanta, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely that area northeast of Atlanta. We have some family down that way. That northeast corridor and the beauty in that area is definitely a travel location for folks living in Atlanta.
All right. So tell us about the Riverbend Campground. What type of campground is it? How big is it? What does it look like?
Okay. It's a private campground. You have 165 RV sites. Most of the vast majority of them have full hookups, but there is a section that has electric and water only. The campground itself, it's relatively flat, but you're surrounded by green rolling hills and small mountains. And I mentioned that it's flat. in that it's very convenient in terms of getting into your sites. Even though, you know, sometimes you think of a mountain area, some of the campgrounds can be a little hilly. All of the sites are flat and easy to back into. They also do have a few pull-through sites. Then you have that wonderful Hiawassee River runs the entire length of the campground. And a lot of the sites have shade trees. Now, if you get into the back part of the campground, that's the newer section. The shade trees are much younger there, or the trees, they're not quite shade trees yet. So there's more exposure to the sun in the back half of the campground. And I'd also like to give a quick shout out to their bathrooms. Their bathhouses are very nice and very comfortable, have almost a bit of a residential feel to them.
Now, in the egg camper community, because maybe sometimes tanks are smaller, or there's wet baths, you know, at these rallies, are people using the bathrooms a lot more than you might think?
Oh, yes, particularly given that small 13-foot campers probably do not have a bathroom at all. And almost universally, egg campers that do have bathrooms, they're wet baths. There's only a couple of exceptions in the egg camper world for dry baths. So yes, most of your egg camper folks are going to be using the bathhouses.
Okay, so how about the price range, ease of booking? Do we need to book here a year in advance, or can we grab some sites spontaneously? What do you think?
It's a tough time this year to do much spontaneity, but most of the time I think you could do some spontaneous last minute camping. Again, I think this summer's a little tougher. The daily rate here is $45. And, you know, we've had a previous discussion about dynamic pricing and how that works. But this campground is still a little old school. If you want a riverfront site, it's $45. You want a pull through site, it's $45. You're going to get a back end site with or without full hookups, it's $45. So it's a pretty simple, straightforward. If you want to use a tent there, they'll charge you $40 for that. They also have very reasonable weekly, monthly, and even seasonal rates. So it's quite nice.
I love hearing this. And the cynical side in me says, oh, they'll sell this campground soon. And for one of my episodes of Six Things I Love About My RV, I visited Ellen at the Interlake RV Park in New York. And she was telling me about how friendly the pricing was and there was no dynamic pricing. And I jokingly said, oh, yeah, they'll sell this campground soon. Watch. And then 2 weeks later, she messaged me and told me that after 60 years of private ownership, the campground had been sold. So I hope this one stays sort of privately held with that friendly kind of pricing. How about some site details? What are the sites like?
Okay, all of the sites are electric with 30 and 50 amp opportunities, and the majority have a sewer as well. All of the sites are nicely graveled with kind of that, you know, that small gravel. It's not the larger hard packed one, but it's more of the small gravel. They do a good job keeping the sites graveled. All of the sites have fire rings, picnic tables. The sites are more or less nicely spaced, and all of them are well kept. The other thing that is really interesting about this campground is I mentioned that there are there is a section of sites that are electric and water only. They do not have sewer. Yet this campground offers a honey wagon service, and I've been to places that will use a honey wagon service, and you know, you'll pay $5 or $10 and they'll come and dump your tanks for you since you don't have a sewer site. But in this particular case, the campground will come through on Wednesdays, and any of those electric and water only sites, they'll dump your gray tank, and on Fridays, they'll come through and they will dump your gray and your black tanks.
Now, with that operation, I would totally just get a water electric site and not worry too much about a full hookup site. I mean, if there was some great site on the river that didn't have sewer, it doesn't matter because you're going to get dumped out there.
Right, right. And that's kind of what happened to us. We lost our site because we didn't go there in 2020. So, and this is for the egg camper rally, this books a year in advance. So we lost our site since we didn't go in 2020. And as a result of that, we ended up in an electric and water only site. And it worked out. And actually, it was a prettier site, more shaded than the full hookup site. And it was in many ways, it was a better site. But with the honey wagon service, it was no big deal.
All right. That sounds great. That's exact. I would have been totally thrilled with that situation. So how about Wi-Fi cell service? If we're working on the road, if we're posting to social media, what's the situation?
Okay. Now, this is usually, this is not what I have to say when we talk about Wi-Fi and cell phone service. The cell phone service is fine, so no problems with that. But this is probably one of the two best campgrounds where we have ever camped in terms of Wi-Fi. Several years ago, the cable company that serviced that area, where the campground was located, the cable company closed up shop. So the campground had to go through a couple of iterations trying to find cable service, and it wasn't particularly successful. And as a result of that, they basically decided, all right, we can't have cable, but what we're going to do is we're going to install a router on every site in the campground, all 165. So now when you go camping there, you have your own Wi-Fi router. So I think the Wi-Fi service there is absolutely exceptional. The only other place that maybe the Wi-Fi was that good was Anchor Down, that had the fiber optic Wi-Fi system. So the Wi-Fi at Riverbend is wonderful. It's as good as your Wi-Fi at home.
And what's amazing there is at that price point, they're charging per night. I mean, that's almost a justification to charge more right now, but it impresses me that they keep their pricing so reasonable. So is customer service good in general at the campground?
Oh, yeah, I think it's very solid. It's a family run campground. And they do a very nice job. They're, you know, very pleasant to interact with. The folks that work around the campground do a nice job. So customer service is solid.
So are there organized activities, and what recreation is offered, you know, particularly maybe if you're going with kids, or what types of things are you doing when you're at an egg rally there for fun on site?
Right. There's not necessarily a ton of organized activities. There's so much to do in the surrounding area. They do have a small swimming pool. You can. Oh, and then all of that area along the river is public space. So you might have a riverfront space, but it's still okay for other campers to kind of go up and down along the river. And you have enough space that it's not an issue in terms of you having some privacy and stuff. So if you want to fish in the Hiawassee River, you can do that. If you want to bring your own tubes or kayaks or canoes, you can paddle up and down the river. There is a nice playground there for the kids. There's a recreation area with a volleyball net. They do some holiday event weekends, so they do offer those kind of attractions. And they also have a nice campground store with a great big front porch with lots of rocking chairs, and you can get hand scooped ice cream. And it, you know, during the evenings of an egg camper rally, there will be a dozen or two dozen people hanging out in front of the campground store, rocking in chairs and eating ice cream.
It sounds dreamy. Take me there right now. Seriously. Any insider details? Like, you know, now you've been to this place a couple times. If someone wanted to book a site, what's one of your top tips?
Yeah, I think what I would do is try to get a riverfront site, and I would recommend maybe a riverfront site closest to the front of the campground, because they have probably more mature trees there. So you can get some shade and still have a nice riverfront site, and you're going to back into the riverfront site and have a beautiful view of the Hiawassee River.
All right. So nobody's perfect. Sounds like you love this place and you're giving it a top recommendation, but what could they improve?
And again, this is one of those things I don't think they really have that much control over, and what control they've taken care of it. I've noticed over the last 5 years or so, the newer part of the campground doesn't have as many shade trees, obviously, but they've planted shade trees, so they've taken care of that. But if you know, it could get pretty hot on the, you know, July in Georgia and August camping. So if you're in the back half of the campground, you're going to get some sun exposure. But I think the campground has done. They've done what they could. They've planted some trees, and I've noticed some growth, obviously some growth in those trees in the 5 years that we've been camping there. So you may want to be a little mindful of that if the direct sun exposure it is an issue for you.
All right, Dean, awesome information. We're going to come back in a second, and we're going to talk about some regional highlights and attractions. When Casita Dean May is on the show, that means good food, good beer, all that stuff. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford. Thetford makes going places easy by manufacturing top RV maintenance and sanitation products, and they've been doing it since 1963. Their brand new Titan all-terrain RV hose support is the industry's most rugged and durable sewer hose support. It includes 5 24-inch stackable supports that are easy to set up and a generously sized storage bag that makes packing them up just as easy, because I hate when the storage bags don't fit the product that comes with them. And I promise you it does here. I have these in my RV right now. Titan sewer hose supports have a durable poly construction that is easily washable and has no rusting parts. They support up to 15 feet of sewer hose and are compatible with Titan sewer hose systems and other hoses. Protect your sewer hose by getting it up off the rough ground. And don't forget to look for Titan Green at an RV parts and accessory store near you. To find out more, head on over to Thetford.com. Oh, welcome back to the show, Casita Dean. I love when you give us regional highlights and things to do in the areas around the campground, because I always get a sense that you and Laura are super adventurous and you own an RV so that you can travel and see destinations and experience places. You guys are not just sitting around at the campground all day, though that can be nice too. So what are some of the things we might want to do when we're hanging around at Riverbend Campground and looking for some day trips?
Yeah. And this is definitely a quick short list. This is another one of those areas that you could explore for a few weeks and still not see everything that's in the area. But just some things that are close by. You have Bell Mountain Park and a historical site. There is a scenic overlook up there on Bell Mountain that is just majestic. And that's just a few minutes from the campground, or a few minutes from Hiawassee. It's kind of an interesting drive up there. It's a fairly steep drive. You would never ever want to tow your camper, even a little egg camper. You would not want to tow up there. But I mean, you're fine. We've been up there in a friend's pickup truck and two-wheel drive. It's paved and everything, but it is a narrow, steep drive up there. So maybe that's just a little insider detail there. You can also drive down to Unicoi State Park, which is a beautiful state park with lots of things to see and do. And you can also very well camp down there. It's just on the northern edge of Helen. And Helen is a really quaint, cool little place. It's kind of a Bavarian village. It's been decorated in that motif. It reminds me a little bit of a small version of Gatlinburg meets a Bavarian village. So it's a great place to go, and you can do a little bit of shopping. You can find lots of places to drink beer and eat German food. There's also Anna Ruby Falls is gorgeous. That's another place, that's just very close by to Helen and Unicoi State Park. Another place that Laura and I like to go to is Brasstown Bald, which is another beautiful drive, easier drive than going to Bell Mountain. But Brasstown Bald is the highest point in Georgia at 4,784 feet.
Some nice hiking in that area.
Oh yes, some wonderful hiking. So you can spend lots of time doing that. Laura and I will sometimes pick, okay, we're going to go see four waterfalls today, and most of those are going to involve hikes of maybe anywhere from a half mile to 1.5 miles, and you hike back out and you'll find a place to eat lunch. So we'll just take in an afternoon of light hiking, waterfalls, lunch, beautiful drive, those types of things.
All of these things are making me hungry and thirsty, and you always have the best food and drink recommendations. So what do you got for us in terms of restaurants and brews?
Okay, I'm going to start with, at top of the list, just in terms of beer, they have a wine and craft beer shop in Hiawassee by the name of Bacchus on the Lake that just has wonderful beer. The selection there is exceptional. So if you like your beer and wine, I would highly recommend Bacchus on the Lake. In terms of barbecue, a good solid barbecue choice would be Hog Wild Barbecue. It's also a catfish house. So if you have folks that don't care for barbecue, they're cat. A lot of times Laura will do, she likes fish and chips. So she'll kind of explore that at different places. So they have good catfish there. If you want a restaurant that serves both, you know, everything, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, casual environment, you can sit outside. I'd recommend the Sundance Grill. We've gone there for lunch. They also have a cup, usually maybe two or three beers on tap as well. Maybe some local beer there that you can have with your lunch. But back to the beer again. Hiawassee Brew Company is wonderful. It's basically located right on the edge of town toward the campground, and they keep a permanent taco truck there. So you can order their tacos. I think when we were there, I always asked the server for a recommendation, and I didn't know whether I wanted to do the wings or the fish tacos. So her recommendation was to do both, which I gladly did. And I would highly, highly recommend their tacos. And you can sit inside, sit outside. So it's wonderful. And maybe one last place is the Tilted Cafe, which is in right downtown Hiawassee. Great place to eat lunch or maybe an early dinner. I think when I was there, I had the pressed Cuban pork sandwich and had a couple of beers. Again, they have some draft beer, that type of thing. And you're sitting out along we were sitting outside overlooking the main drag of Hiawassee. So a nice place to have lunch.
I can't help but thinking that it's so important as a traveler to go back to places more than once, to go back two times, three times, because obviously you didn't do all these things in one trip, right? I mean, it's multiple trips that allows you to really get a sense of everything an area has to offer.
Right, right. I think we've been there about five times, at least four, but I believe we've been there five times.
Well, I feel like, you know, we've been to Acadia five or six times, and I feel like somebody who's gone once, like, do you really know Acadia? You know, I don't think so after 1 week. You know, I think that certain places require multiple trips, and this sounds like one of them. So let's talk about the Eggs on the Hiawassee Molded Fiberglass Camper Rally, which is the thing that keeps pulling you back to this part of the country. And I'm jealous of these egg camper rallies. I mean, they sound like a blast, and they sound quirky and creative and fun. So break this one down for us. I mean, like, who hosts this, and when does it happen? All the good details.
Right. Well, these egg camper rallies, most egg camper rallies will start on a Thursday and end on a Sunday. But a lot of these egg campers, they know each other. They're couples, and they're, you know, some single folks as well. They've gotten to be really good friends. So we, you know, Laura and I will go to 4 to 7 rallies a year. We'll see some of the same folks at two or three of those rallies, and then you'll go to some others and you'll see some other folks there. So they're really nice. One of the things that, particularly if you want to go to a larger rally, it all depends on who's hosting the rally in terms of what, you know, is it going to be a more organized rally, or some of the rallies, and they're also a lot of fun. They're called more gatherings rather than rallies. And the gatherings probably means, hey, we're just going to meet, we're going to camp, we're going to hang out some, as opposed to the rallies. They tend to have more structured activities. So this particular rally is probably one of the largest ones that we attend. I think this past year there were 105 campers and about 108 egg campers, about 105 egg campers, and then about 180 people. Most of them couples, but obviously some single, some guys and gals, you know, camping on their own as well. But this rally is hosted by, and I have to just give a shout out to them, by John and Melissa Martin. They have a little boy, and they have two small 13-foot egg campers, kind of vintage campers, and they really, really know how to host and put together a rally. So this rally is usually the first weekend after Memorial Day.
I can't help but thinking, and I'm jumping ahead a tiny little bit in your amazing notes, but I can't help but thinking right here, if I'm an egg camper aficionado like you and Laura are, it's not easy to see egg campers because they're usually not sold at dealerships. There's not as many of them sold as regular travel trailers. So just the fact that you have 100 of them in one location and you can see Oliver's, Casitas, Little Snoozies, you know, all these different cool brands that are hard to see otherwise. I imagine that's got to be a huge part of the attraction for you guys to go to these rallies.
Oh, it is. It is. And it's also fun to me. What another fun part is this rally is so big. Most rallies will do what you call a trailer showing. So where people will show off their egg campers. So maybe they'll do it on a Friday afternoon from noon until 4, or maybe from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. or, you know, something like that. This one is so big that they basically have 2 days of showing. So the front half of the campground will show their campers on Friday. The back half of the campground will show their campers on Saturday. And on Saturday, they also invite the public. So if there are people out there that are interested in these egg campers, even though you're not a part of the rally, you can come by and talk. And Laura and I have made friendships with people that have showed up just to look at egg campers, then will talk to us, talk to other people. And the next thing you know, I remember there was a woman, she ended up buying a used park liner shortly after one of her first rallies that she attended. And you used her park liner to camp and attend rallies on her own.
That sounds awesome. It's almost like an RV show. You can't purchase there, but you can window shop there and then decide what you want. So what other activities will you see over the course of one of these rallies at this particular one?
Right. And this one, again, is a little more structured than some. So and Laura and I will make it a 6 or 7 day event. So we'll show up on a Tuesday after Memorial Day to avoid the traffic, and we'll stay until Monday. But what will happen is usually the activities aren't going to kick in until Thursday or Friday. And this particular rally, you'll have a fish fry that will kind of get things started. Into the fish fry is sponsored by the campground because they've got that's a nice symbiotic relationship between all of those campers and the campground. There's 105 of them there, so they'll serve everybody a fish fry dinner on Thursday or Friday night. There's usually a potluck on Saturday night. As I mentioned earlier, they do the camper showcase. So you're showing campers and looking at campers on Friday and Saturday. This one is organized to the point that they even have camper choice awards. We vote on who has the best modifications, you know, the prettiest exterior, the, you know, those types of things. So there's 4 or 5 categories in terms of giving awards for the best camper. They also do bingo, they do cornhole tournaments, ladder ball tournaments, different activities like that. And you'd mentioned Oliver earlier. Usually Oliver will sponsor a Saturday morning coffee and donuts, and there will be maybe some at the pavilion, and there will probably be 60, 80, 100 people there sitting at picnic tables. They did a presentation this past year on Harvest Host. So a lot of times people will just get together for donuts and coffee. And this rally is unique in that it's so large, and John and Melissa have done such a great job advertising it and marketing it. There's actually several sponsors. So some of the different egg camper manufacturers, RV dealerships in the surrounding area, and RV companies will actually sponsor the rally. So they give away door prizes and gifts and that type of thing. And I'd have to say that probably the number one thing that takes place at egg camper rallies is just lots and lots of socialization of just people just hanging out throughout the day, people having campfires at night, and you may end up with 10 or 12 at one campsite. You might end up with 20 or 25 at another campsite. But one of the first mornings we were there, I got up to fix bacon and eggs. So I'm outside. I start fixing breakfast at 9:15. And I had a friend that I haven't seen since 2018, was 3 or 4 sites down from me. He came by. We started talking. And then the next thing I know, I just turned my grill off. I hadn't put the bacon on yet. So I just turned the grill off. By the time We finished breakfast, and I started fixing breakfast at 9:15. We did not finish breakfast until 12:45 in the afternoon, just because there were so many people coming around. And it's kind of one of those things. We're there to socialize and hang out with folks. I can do bacon and eggs at home. So Laura and I were fine with that. But that's the type of things that you do. You just do a lot of, or you get a several couples will get together and go to the brewery to have lunch, you know, one afternoon. So it's a lot of fun.
I've been thinking a lot lately about it, you know, at its core, you know, why do we become RV owners? Why do we purchase RVs? Why do we invest in this lifestyle? And as I'm hearing you talk about how dynamic the social scene is here, I'm just thinking that, like, you know, as an RV owner, you could do something like this and be hanging out with over 100 people and have friends that you see every year and be talking for hours upon hours. Or I can't help but thinking, you could go to a National Forest Service campground and have a site where you don't see another person, you know, and wherever you are on that range of desires for either being alone or socializing, or both on different trips, you know, the RV ownership experience can give you whatever you want. You know, I would love to do a rally like this, you know, I could almost see some people buying a fiberglass camper just so they can go to these rallies, right?
Sure. I mean, and we have, and like I said, we've made several dozen friends over the last few years that we've gotten to be close friends with a number of people, and just an interesting cross section of folks. So we have really enjoyed it. Like I said, we're at the point, we usually go to about 4 to 7 rallies a year.
All right. We're going to come back in a second. We're going to wrap up the show with any final thoughts from Cassie to Dean May. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Campspot. Campspot is an instant booking platform for camping across North America. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more, whether it's last minute or for your epic road trip months away. And now Campspot is pleased to announce the launch of a mobile app to make it even easier for campers to search, discover, and book their perfect camping trips. With the Campspot mobile app, available on both iOS and Android, campers will have access to over 110,000 campsites in 49 states in the U.S. and all 10 Canadian provinces. And because Campspot integrates directly with campground reservation systems, campers can instantly find and book their ideal camp spot right in the app. Campspot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and a lowest price guarantee so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best price. Prices. Plus, you can save your favorite campground finds for future trips and keep all of your reservations organized in one place. Guys, it's time to start booking those fall camping trips right now. If you haven't, you're going to run into trouble because things are a bit crowded. So to find your camp spot, visit campspot.com today. So, Cassita Dean May, I thank you so much for taking us inside this world of the fiberglass egg camper community and the rallies. I feel like I got to come along with you guys. Any closing thoughts, any last things you want to say to people out there listening and maybe thinking about buying an egg camper or thinking about attending one of these rallies?
Yeah. And again, it's one, we're a pretty social bunch. And like I said, a lot of the, when we're showing trailers, it's fine for people to come from the surrounding area or, you know, even come from distances. That's what Laura and I did, you know, back in 2015 when we went to that Land Between the Lakes rally. We rented a rustic cabin and spent the afternoon hanging out, touring campers, and socializing with these folks. And 1 month later, you know, we had a camper. In terms of closing thoughts, just a couple of things. We have attended this rally 4 times, and we've actually it was a really difficult decision. We decided not to rebook for next year. And if you don't rebook while you're there, it's going to book up. It books a year in advance. But since we've been so many times, and there's a lot of people that would like to go, but they can't get in because we keep coming back. Laura and I have not camped in Illinois. There is a rally there called the 4B Rally on Lake Shelbyville. So we've decided we're going to go to Illinois next year, experience something different, and then give somebody else the chance and the opportunity to experience the Riverbend Campground and the surrounding area. I mean, Northeast Georgia for us is one of our favorite areas to camp. For Laura and I, and I'm you know me, I'm a bit of a numbers guy, so I would like to say that Riverbend Campground is a top five campground for Laura and I. Eggs on the Hiawassee is one of the best egg camper rallies. And when you put all of that together, I mean, it's definitely going to be an area that we go back to.
Casita Dean May, you're an absolute treasure. And I thank you so much for all of the amazing content you bring on the show. And you just, you take us to places that Stephanie and I don't go to, can't go to, won't be able to go to for years to come. I mean, we don't own an egg camper. So you're my way into this community. And we appreciate you so much. So Dean, hopefully we will see you at the campground.
All right. See you in the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thanks to our sponsors.
To Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, CampSpot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and our friends at Ocala Marion County in Florida.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And join the friendliest group of RVers over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
And if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.